The paper was warm when I pulled it from the safe, as if it had been breathing in there. Thick stock, cream-colored, the kind that doesn't bend unless it wants to. I remember thinking that detail mattered, though I couldn't explain why. My name sat on the bottom line in ink that looked exactly like mine on a good day. Confident, slightly rushed, familiar. I had no memory of signing it. The number printed above my name was calm, modest, almost considerate. It was the kind of debt that suggested responsibility, not danger. The kind that said, this is manageable, this is normal, this is how adults solve things, quietly. I closed the safe and sat on the floor with my back against it, the metal cold through my shirt. The room smelled faintly of dust and lemon cleaner. Nothing about the moment felt dramatic enough to justify the way my heart was trying to escape my chest. I told myself there was a reasonable explanation. There always is, at first. That's the mercy of the early seconds. The mind offers soft landings before it starts taking things away. I folded the note once, then again. Each crease felt like a decision I had already made and couldn't undo. That was when I realized the safe hadn't protected anything. It had only been holding the lie in place. I met him during a season when stability felt like a luxury item. The kind of thing other people owned and displayed without thinking about it. I was tired in ways sleep didn't fix. Tired of spreadsheets that never balanced, of calls that always came a little too late in the day, of the quiet humiliation that comes with pretending things are fine. He noticed that without asking. He had the demeanor of someone who didn't rush trust, but expected it eventually, like gravity. When he spoke about money, it wasn't numbers first. It was stories. People he'd helped out of tight corners, situations that resolved themselves once the panic died down. He never said rescue. He never said leverage. He spoke in tones meant to lower blood pressure. The first time he mentioned promissory notes, it was casual, almost academic. A safe instrument, he said. Old-fashioned, clean, none of the ugliness of modern debt. Just agreements between adults who respected each other enough to put things in writing. I remember nodding, relieved by how boring it sounded. The help came quickly after that, though it never felt rushed. A bridge amount, a temporary float, words like that. He framed it as something that would keep me from making desperate choices. I didn't hear the irony at the time. I heard care. I heard competence. I heard someone willing to sit in the mess with me without flinching. He never pushed paper across the table, never asked for a signature in front of him. He said he trusted me. Said paperwork had a way of complicating simple arrangements. He preferred to handle the administrative side himself, make things easy, reduce my stress. I let him. That detail matters more than I want it to. When the first note appeared, I didn't question it. It arrived already filed, already dated, already tucked into the logic of my life. It felt like discovering a receipt for something I vaguely remembered buying. The signature looked right. The terms were fair. I even felt a flicker of gratitude for how responsibly it had been structured. I told myself this was adulthood, that this was what solving problems quietly looked like. What I didn't notice was how often he reminded me of how much worse things could have gone. How many favors he had quietly saved me from needing. How many people would have panicked where he stayed calm. By the time the second note surfaced, the idea that something might be wrong felt disloyal. Suspicion would have meant reevaluating not just the paper, but the relief. And I wasn't ready to give that up. So I adjusted. I rationalized. I folded the unease into the same mental drawer where I kept overdue worries and unopened mail. I told myself trust was a muscle. That discomfort was just growth. I didn't realize I was being trained to ignore the sound of my own alarm. The pressure didn't arrive loudly. It arrived politely, in reminders that carried smiles in their punctuation, in timelines that felt reasonable until they stacked on top of each other and blocked the light. More notes appeared, each one impeccable, each one bearing my name in that same convincing hand. The signatures never wavered. They didn't tremble. They didn't hesitate. They looked like a version of me who had always known what he was doing. I started keeping my own copies, comparing them late at night like forensic evidence. I looked for inconsistencies, slants, pressure marks, anything that would give me permission to say this isn't mine. The paper never betrayed him. When I asked questions, he didn't bristle. That was the most disarming part. He welcomed them. reassured me with patience that made my doubt feel childish. He spoke about legal frameworks, about safeguards, about how fortunate I was that everything had been documented so cleanly. Cleanly, that word stuck. I noticed how often my gratitude was being converted into obligation. How often relief came bundled with subtle reminders of what he had shielded me from. He never threatened. He never raised his voice. He simply allowed silence to do the work when I hesitated. The math started to feel heavier than the money. Every calculation carried an unspoken premise, that the notes were real because they had always been there, that my name belonged to them because it appeared so confidently at the bottom. I caught myself defending the situation to myself, rehearsing explanations I hadn't been asked to give. That was when the compression began. The sense that there was less air in the room than before. Less room for doubt. One evening, I pulled every document from the safe and laid them across the table. I traced the signatures with my finger until my skin tingled. I tried to summon the memory of signing them, any memory at all. There was nothing. That absence should have been enough. Instead, it felt like an accusation. Against me. Against my own reliability. The idea that I could forget something this important felt more frightening than the idea that someone else had written my name for me. I began to wonder which explanation said worse things about me. The realization didn't arrive as a revelation. It crept in as a compromise, a quiet acceptance that whether I had signed or not no longer mattered. The notes existed. They had weight. They had consequences. Fighting them would mean dismantling the story that had kept me afloat. So I stopped digging. That choice tightened everything. I wasn't being held down. I was holding myself in place, afraid of what would happen if I stood up too fast. The truth landed sideways, as truths often do. Not as a confession, not as evidence slid across a table. It arrived as a stray detail that didn't know how to stay quiet. A clerk mentioned a filing discrepancy, an offhand comment about handwriting standards, a sentence that didn't mean anything until it meant everything. I went home and opened the safe again. This time, the paper felt colder. I saw it then, not in the ink, not in the curves of the letters, but in the consistency, the unnatural steadiness, the way every signature looked like the best version of me, preserved and repeated without fatigue. Forgery isn't sloppy. That's the lie people tell themselves. Good forgery is devotional. It studies you. It learns the way confidence feels in your wrist. It gives you back an idealized self and asks you to accept it. I understood, all at once, that I had accepted it eagerly. The injury wasn't the money. It was the way my consent had been simulated so perfectly that I adopted it as my own. I had paid, defended, and adjusted my life around decisions I never made, simply because they looked like decisions I would have made. And somewhere along the way, that became true. There was no dramatic confrontation, no collapse that anyone else could witness. The damage lived entirely inside me, rearranging things quietly. Trust didn't disappear. It inverted. Every moment of relief I remembered now carried a shadow version beside it, identical and rotten. I could have exposed it, challenged it, burned everything down. I didn't. By the time I understood what had been taken, I was already using the structure to survive. Already complicit in maintaining the fiction, because dismantling it would have meant admitting how easily I had been guided into silence. The safe is still there. The notes are still inside it. My name is still written in that confident hand. Sometimes I catch myself thinking the signatures are better than mine ever were. That's the part that keeps me awake. Not that someone wrote my name without permission, but that I learned to live as if they had every right to.